You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Ephesians and chapter 1. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we do just that, looking to you. So here we are in your time, your day. You already know what's ahead, every minute and hour ahead. So God, we're looking to you to give us that little whatever it is that you have in mind. And God, we'll thank you. May we appropriate it rightly and exercise it properly, the truth. And our God will thank you for all that you're doing. Spirit of God, thank you very much. In Christ's name. Amen. And we shared a little bit this morning in the light of the realness of the realities. And in the process, God is confirming in the disciples back then in John, the Gospel of John, after his crucifixion. He's locking in the reality of all that really is in a world that doesn't see, doesn't understand what's going on above the atmosphere in which we live. People don't see it. What's happening in the world? They don't see. God is trying to help the believers who are going to be a testimony. As my Father sent me, so send I you, to be able to communicate. There's an awesome reality that people need to pay attention to. Ephesians, and in chapter 1, remember, when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God doesn't have it like in Israel. In Israel, you'll have a wonderful head and heart, but you will be related to God as He's the King. You have a relationship to God this way. Right now, God is demonstrating the awesome grace where you have a relationship to God, not looking to Him as a King, Lord, and ruler. You are part of His body. You are in His, you are His body, literally. And I said that. It's easy to say it. It's another thing to understand it. And people don't understand it. They look at church as the building, and people come in and out, and that's where they go, different buildings and groups, hundreds of them, all kinds of different kinds. They do not understand. The church is His body. The local church is the way He expresses and shows His body. It isn't about the people in the church, that in our church system. The church in the New Testament had to be quite different. There was not too much hypocrite, not too many hypocrites, always hypocrites, but there were not so many back then. It was pretty solid. I mean, you either got persecuted or went, and you either got saved or you didn't. And it was real. We don't have that today. And so people, when you come to church, it isn't because of people. And people use this all the time. They use it. Someone said to me about something in the church, to people talking. I don't want to get sidetracked. And people do that. And it has nothing to do. That's people's opinion, thoughts, and everything. You're in the church building. You're in the church body to assemble. You aren't here for popularity. You aren't here for persons. It isn't a club. It's a body. And whether other people around you talk stupidly or not, you're here because you are a believer. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which church, the assembly, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And now, that unique relationship involves and makes for chapter 6, and chapter 6, and in verse 12. It's not a when you get saved, darkness, you get saved out of darkness into light, out of death into life. And when you got saved, you change sides from the devil's side, the world's side, to God's side. And God took you over. He redeemed you. He bought you with a price over for his side. And therefore, you're going to find, which you didn't, if you live in China or whatever, you're out there in all kinds of different areas, of course, and you can live in China and never know war or whatever they're doing. Oh, you're there. You're part of the country. You're part of the system. But you never realize the war that could be going on, all that's happening. Hang on, we'll get back to that. Now, what are we supposed to understand? When God puts us in his body, the world system, the darkness, the god of this world, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, the highest, all kinds of rank, generals and colonels and powers we have no idea of in the angelic world. Awesome. And against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, in the process of that, and we're looking in the, it's a war. And in the war, we understand that, and as we, that's what started us on this thing, this, Judges chapter 3, 1, 2, 3, chapter 3. What did Israel have to learn after Joshua? They had to be taught and learn war. Learn war. You have to know you're in a war. You have to know how to battle in the war so that you're a winner / overcomer. You need to be an overcomer. You didn't before, you just were overcome. But when you get saved, you need to be an overcomer and overcome so you're not overcome by something else. So, in the process of that, if I can, over to the book of Joshua for a moment. Joshua in chapter 1. And they had to learn war in Judges. Now, what did they the people in Joshua's day had a good boot camp. They had good training. God put them through 40 years in the wilderness and trained and educated, and then at the Red Sea, etc. They were being well trained. In Judges, everyone was doing that which is right in his own eyes, and they had no sense of the battle. Joshua, and therefore, Joshua helps us. What were they missing in Judges? They didn't understand the battle. Now, and we share together to keep in mind, our Lord said, there's hot and there's cold. Revelation 3, there's no neutral. There's no such thing as halfway. It's either, again, he said, it's either you're for or against me. There is no halfway. Spiritually, you're in fellowship, yielded, trusting God in his fullness, or you're in the flesh, one or the other. There's no both. There isn't both. We like to try to just be in sort of a nothing land, where either side doesn't matter about God, doesn't matter about the world system. We're just doing what we do to enjoy life as best we can. Now, so it's neither hot nor cold, and there is no mixture. And so we need to understand that. And Joshua is going to go and be educated, and Israel is going to be educated, I should say, and Joshua is going to lead them in the education. So in the process of their education, God is going to help them understand his saving grace. And God is going to go, looking at Joshua 1, God is going to go and give them a wonderful, wonderful location. Smack dab in the middle of the earth, literally. Open the map up, the world, here's the world, out there. And what's in the middle? Israel. Right in the middle. Right in the middle of everything. Wow. And God put Israel. What's Israel to be? Deuteronomy chapter 4, 6 through 8 in that. What's Deuteronomy? To be a testimony to the nations all around them, the whole world, that God is God, not the system and not what's going on. And they had to understand God is to be honored and worshiped and understood, which they weren't doing. But they ought to have the light, had given light in their darkness to see their guilt, to see their wrong, to see they need to change. Now, having said that, so they have a wonderful place, and God has a wonderful plan for them. Wonderful plan, which is what we just talked about. And in God's wonderful, wonderful plan, in God's wonderful, wonderful way, He's going to show the whole world by way of Israel God's grace and God's wonderful way. He's the only God and the only Savior. And God requires, what does God require in order to demonstrate? Weakness is a problem. We try to be in the middle so we don't have to engage. But, so what are you going to tell us, God? Well, let me go a little bit ahead of that. Here's communism, socialism, humanism, materialism, whatever you want, all over the place. What are people doing? Now, are the average person living up and down the street? They're going to work, they're going to school, they do what they do, each day, and get through each day, and go to the next day, et cetera, et cetera, in a normal life, as we call it. That's what they do. That's just the normal person doing. But the people that represent communism, socialism, humanism, the people that represent China, represent Iran, represent North Korea, the people that do that, they aren't doing that. We're doing it as normal people. But the people that are in Washington, in all the different departments, what do you think they do every day? They do like, well, you go to work and you count whatever and you do. They go to work, and what are they doing? They're spending their whole day, every day, thinking about how to develop a whatever they're after, regulations and everything. And they spend a whole day writing and redoing. Communists, what do? They spend all day developing, winning, overcoming, don't they? They're giving themselves to the what? To win. That's what they're doing. What are they doing in Islam? They're busy, Iran and all of that. They're busy doing what they're doing. The average person isn't, but they are. The systems running, the different systems, are being run by people that are devoted to what they're doing. That's why the changes all keep coming, and we sort of live in the changes as they occur. So it's an ongoing battle, and it's big time, big time. It isn't some small thing. And since the pandemic, it's been let loose like Pandora's box, let loose. And it's going. It's all over the place in so many ways, in all kinds of ways. Now, in the process of that, and someone asked to look at artificial intelligence, which we'll try a little bit. In the process, all of this is happening. So in the process, there's a war. And the average person isn't conscious of the war. The believer needs to understand the war. War, the good warfare. You have to understand the war. And therefore, what is required? Joshua chapter 1, the requirements as you join up and get ready for battle, get ready to go to war, what do you have to do? And I'll go down to verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Okay? I'm going to go to strong and good courage. I'm going to go to verse 7. Be strong and have good courage. I'm going to go to verse 9. Be strong and have good courage. So whatever it is, guys, girls, you got to be strong and be full of courage. Why? Because this isn't a picnic. But I don't see any problem. Ah, that's because you're part of the system, a given system in a given country, a given culture, in a given way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind and having that in front of you if you can, so here's God, to be strong. And looking at that word strong, just to look at it, the verb, since it's so important, to bind something together, to take rope, four different strands of rope, and twist them so that all of them become one big rope, to twist things together to make them strong, to bind together, to make firm, to make strong, to make, God, and it's a command, be strong. That isn't a request. In other words, hang fast, fasten yourself, lock on. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, you need to lock on. An illustration. Over to 2 Chronicles, and chapter 32. And in 2 Chronicles, in chapter 32, picking up in thought, and we're looking at war, I'm giving an illustration. God gives them. God took time to record them. And 2 Chronicles, chapter 32, and here's Hezekiah, if I go down, and here's this Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and sliding down to verse 2, and when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was prepared to fight against it, Jerusalem. Now, what are you going to do, Hezekiah? He's already the 10 tribes in the north, they've been clipped. So we got that part. We got that. Now he's coming for the 2 tribes in the south, as it were. Now, so therefore, Hezekiah, what are you going to do against the war? The war. It's a real war. Israel was the centerpiece. And in the light of all that, without reading it all, verse 4. And there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, why should the king of Syria come and find much water? In other words, they're trying to eliminate anything that the king of Assyria could use. Verse 5. Also, he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers and another wall without and prepared Milo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance. In other words, they prepared for war. It's one thing to prepare for war with our weapons. 2 Corinthians 10:3-4. Our warfare, though, is not carnal. So we can't use spears and swords and bows and arrows because it isn't that kind of war. But that kind of war that's spiritual is demonstrated by actual war on planet Earth. That war is down here expressed physically now. So therefore, in verse 6, and he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, what on earth could you tell the people in the light of Syria? They're coming. More. Verse 7. Here's the two words. Be strong and of good courage. Courage, valiant, bold, boldness. It's used of red, the dazzling color of red. Speaking of it, it's red and its dazzling color gets out there. In fact, I tried to think, you know them better than I do. Things are all yesterday. And I remember one of the tests they did when people were trying to lift weights and that. Now, I think one of the tests, I think I'm right, I remember it right. And one of the tests they had, and they put up, had the weights to lift up. They put different colors on the wall in front of them. And when they put red, bright red on the wall, the lifter lost his strength seeing the bright red. It psychologically got him, and he became weak with the red wall. Word courage, courage, valiant, boldness. So he was strong and of good courage. Verse 7, be not afraid nor dismayed. Why? For the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, his army, and for there is more with him, us, than with him. Ah, where? And they look around. Here's Assyrian army, and here's us. Verse 8, with him is an arm of the flesh. He has all the human chariots and everything else. But with us, the Lord our God, to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. We're going to trust God. Be strong and of good courage. So the whole thing, we aren't going to fight this thing in the normal, because how do we fight principalities and powers? How do we fight this spiritual world when one angel can clobber the whole army? What on earth are we going to do? And that it dominates the world system. The God of this world is dominating the system, the countries. Now, he's the God of the system. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so God, you're going to do that, so you need to be strong. And so God, an example of that, if I can, in the light of that, 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30, you'll recall, and in chapter 30, be strong. So you have to be strong. And Hezekiah demonstrated, we got to trust God. That's what we got to do. So whatever it is in this battle, we're going to have to look to God. Now, in the process, hang on, chapter 30, here's David. And without giving the whole background, David did a couple of things that were not good, with going against Amalek and all of that, And he had to go back home. The enemy had come in and taken all his whole army, went to help somebody else. He shouldn't have. And therefore, the other army took advantage and went in and took the children, the women, and the goods, took everything. So David and his army comes back home, and they got an empty camp. And the men were going to go kill him for doing what they did. They were going to kill David and stone him, whatever. Now, so therefore, what would you do when everything around you has failed? And all the things you goofed, you whatever, and it's all a mess. What are you going to do in order to win? We can't be cowards. We have to be strong. Therefore, David, what did you do? I looked at everything. I looked at the men going to kill me. I looked at the women and children captive. I looked at the empty camp. I looked at everything around me. I looked, and what did I do? I had to look to God. Therefore, verse 6, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. The word encourage is strengthen. What did he do? He rolled up his sleeve and said, it's impossible, God. I'm going to look to you. Without you, you have to help. Hezekiah, what did you do? We're going to look to God. God with us is better than all of their armies together. And if you want to do that, jump with a big jump. Here's Armageddon. Here's all the armies of the world in some form. in some form, going against God. Okay? And in the process, God's coming. Now, God, now, what are we going to do? How many are we going to get them? They just are going against God, and, of course, they lose. God plus nothing is the winner. God wins at the Armageddon in all of that wonderful, wonderful time of battle, war, Revelation 19, the war. And they're going to go against God. You can't go against God. And if God be for us, what? Who can be against us? So what are we looking for? Well, God, you got to be strong. But we aren't strong. We're weak. Well, then what are we going to do? How are we going to get strong? We've got to look to God. And God will get us to be strong. And that's what Hezekiah encouraged in a most wonderful way. Hang on to that now. And keeping that in mind if I can. Now, over one other place on that, over to Isaiah. And in Isaiah, and in chapter 41, which you're familiar with, but look at the context. And in Isaiah, and chapter 41, note please, if I can, over in verse 8. But thou, Israel, 41:8, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Now, that's God, and Israel needed to trust God. We need to trust God. Verse 19, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, I and not cast thee away. In other words, God said, I'm your God and God, the only God and only Savior, and you're trusting me. Therefore, verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. And I am with thee, for I am thy God, and I will, there's your little verb, strengthen. God will strengthen. Be strong and of good courage. What do they need to know? God said, I'll strengthen you. But we aren't strong. But God is strong. How strong is God? All the armies of the world couldn't touch him. God plus nothing is everything. It's enough. We're going to trust God. Hang on. We're going to trust God. Now, in verse 10, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I'm going to go and honor his word. He's going to honor himself, and he's going to do what? Help Israel to win. And they need to understand that Israel is going to have to go and trust God. And in the process, Jeremiah, they don't trust God. So therefore, they lose. They lose. They could have trusted God. That's all. They had to be strong and of good courage. But that's what they had to do. Well, how am I going to be strong and of good courage? How am I going to do that? Joshua chapter 1. And in Joshua chapter 1, picking up, please. And exercise it, the truth. So being in boot camp, what do you need to understand about the battle and what you're up against? And you got to trust God. Now, so Joshua chapter 1, if I can, picking up please, for time's sake, Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, and you know all of that from the book of Deuteronomy that God had told them. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot should tread upon, again, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And then he gives the dimensions, from the wilderness of Lebanon even unto the great river, River Euphrates. So we're talking, here's the Mediterranean Sea over here, Mediterranean Sea, and we're going east, all the way to the Euphrates River. I'm giving you all of that. And not just the little land down by the Jordan. I gave you this whole thing. All you got to do, I gave it to you. I handed it over to you. All you have to do is each step you take, trust me and claim it. Here it is, God's wonderful plan, wonderful place for Israel, wonderful place. And what are you going to do to enjoy the place that God has given you? One foot at a time, thank God, one step at a time, and claim the territory. That's what Israel was to do. And as they did that, they were absolute winners. Winners in above all that we could ask or think. And at being winners, they trusted God. They were to be strong. And they had to be what? They had to be convinced that God had given them something. Are you believers? Israel had to be convinced that that land, but the enemies there, that God gave it. What do we do in our position? God has a wonderful plan for our life. What is God's plan? For him, as my Father sent me, so send I you. God's wonderful plan is for you to walk the earth, Acts 1:8, any place you go, and bear witness to his marvelous person as a forgiven, saved sinner up and down the earth. Wherever you go, you're a demonstration. And what gives you the authority to be forgiven and to say, listen, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're lost. What gives us that authority? Christ in you is saying it to you. And you are showing it by being saved. And you are saying it, showing it, saying it to people. You need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, to be forgiven. And if you aren't going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're lost in trespasses and sin. Simple as that. That's your message? Where's it coming from? Christ in you. That's what he is saying, isn't he? That's what he's saying. And what are you? A mouthpiece. You're a demonstration of God's wonderful grace. God's wonderful plan for your life, for Israel, is to take every foot they take. So what are we supposed to do? We're to walk by faith and not by sight. When we go to work, we go to home, we do whatever, we're at school, whatever we're doing, that's what we do. And what are we doing? We aren't looking for territory. We aren't looking to possess anything. We're looking to just exist and be a little light in the darkness. That's what we're trying to do. And God's going to demonstrate that. You have a wonderful place. Are you confident? Are you wonderful, confident, convinced that God has given you that wonderful assignment? Are you convinced? Is that what God's given you? And if you're convinced, are you doing it? Do you understand it? And exercise it to some measure in what you do and try to do and be. Are you convinced? If you're going to be strong, you're going to be convinced that God has done that in his wonderful plan to give you his piece of property. And what else in the light of that in chapter 1? God has given you that. So be convinced of God keeps his word. God keeps his word. God said it. God's going to do it. And God said, back to the realities, the realness, he's trying to get them in the upper room and after his resurrection. He's trying to get them to understand, this is very real what I'm doing here. And what's going to happen after my resurrection? This is very real. And we look out there. Well, I don't see it. God said it's real. I got to help you understand the reality of it. All of this is going to disappear. It is, literally. So one of these moments. And you're going to be with the Lord. And all of this is gone. But you've got one long time to know the other side of the coin. You've got one long time to know it. And so I never knew it. I told you, God said. So you got to be convinced of God's wonderful plan. And you got to be confident. Wonderful confident that every step you take is in the will of God, you trust in God. God didn't give you sometime a given assignment, but most of the time it's just whatever you, how do you do it? If you know what? 1 Corinthians 10:31, what is the will of God? Whatever you eat or drink or do, do it to the glory of God. Simple. Simple. What am I going to do? What to do is exercise your life, trust in God, and be strong. That's what you got to do. That's simple. That's all I asked you to do. And every step you take, you want to be confident, wonderfully and convinced, confident, convinced, that every step you take is in the will of looking God for God to help you. We walk in the light as He is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So we walk in the light. That's what we're doing. One step at a time. I have no idea the next 10 steps. I don't know them. I don't know them yet. Neither do you. And if we say we know them, like in James, you have no right to say that because you have no idea about tomorrow for sure. So don't boast about tomorrow. Trust me and get there inch by inch, step by step, down the corridor of time. So therefore, being convinced God has given you something, a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful relationship to God, and being convinced that God is going to keep His word, His wonderful word, and being confident and most wonderfully so that each step we take, we can trust God to be strong and outwork it. We walk in the light as He is in the light. I have no idea where it's going to be go, but I just walk and trust God, do the things that I can be responsible for as much as I understand them, and trust God as I go forward, God's wonderful person and presence in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And I can do that. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so God, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to have to be courageous. We have to be courageous, strong and courageous. How are we going to possess the land? We're going to have to go in. The enemy is there. Our old nature is there. And Galatians 5:17, your spirit, when you get saved, God is going to go against the old nature. And you have a conflict. So there's nothing, that's what you just know. It's a battle. It's a war. 1 Peter, war in your heart. And we got it. We got it. It's going on. It never goes away. So we have to trust God and look to God and understand I need to be strong. And God has a wonderful plan, a wonderful purpose for me, for you, in His most wonderful way. And so we can look to God to prosper in all that we do and all that we say. So God, we're going to possess your wonderful will, and that's what Israel was to do. To possess God's wonderful will, how are they going to do so? By being strong and of good courage. That's what they're going to have to do. And if they aren't strong and good courage, they aren't going to be able to do it. So, and having said that, we need to go look at Joshua 1, picking verse 7 just for the moment. In verse 7, only be thou strong and of good courage, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. In other words, stay on course, that thou mayest prosper, have good success, wonderful success, whithersoever thou goest. In other words, you're going to be very successful. You're going to look to and be strong and of good courage. And when you're strong and of good courage, you're going to win. That's what you're going to do as you get down the corridor of time. In verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Again, like in verse 7. Make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You'll succeed. I got to get up and go to work, go to school, whatever, do the housework, whatever I got to do. I'm going to trust God. I may not have very much to do. I may not be able to do a lot of things, but I can certainly trust God. I can certainly do so. And God, what are the requirements to trust God? Why are we going to trust God? Because we are weak. And when you're weak, and you're weak, you realize your weakness, and you realize your dependence, That's when you trust God. When you're real about your inadequacy to handle it. And you're going to trust God. That's what gives you strength. God, what are you looking for? I'm looking for you to be totally resting on who I am so that I will do what I do. You aren't strong. God is strong. And you're going to find your strength in God and down the corridor of time. Hold your finger here a minute and go over with me over to Corinthians. In Corinthians and in chapter 12. Picking up, just to pick up that little word so you see it in the context. Chapter 12, 2 Corinthians, and demonstrated in a most wonderful way. And remember, Paul had so many battles, so many times he almost died, and God kept him all the way till he was finished with him. And then he allowed him to have a wonderful death that by Nero took his head. He said, God said, I'm finished with you, Paul, and be of good cheer, and let's give the world a little bit of comfort, encouragement. They think they win. They're going to take your head, and they're going to lose because they took your head. You're the winner. The world's the loser. But we got all the believers. The world's, think of the rapture and all that. And they're gone. We won, right? The world takes all the believers right now. And the world turns around, the Hartford Courant says, we won. They're all gone. Remember? Is that what you're going to say? You know. Yay! You're going to yay. You're in trouble. You're in deep trouble. Hang on. Now, so 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's Paul, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength, be strong in a good courage, is made perfect, full, complete, in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul said, will I rather glory in my infirmities, my failure, my shortcomings, my humanity, my old nature, my every problem I got. I'm going to glory. All of that causes me to trust God, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. In weakness, dependence. I have to know my weakness and be dependent. That's what God's looking for. Weak, I can't, God. But I'm going to look to you wonderfully to be who you are in a wonderful way. Back over to Joshua. And if I can, keeping in mind. So God, we're going to go and look to you. We're going to be able to prosper. We're going to be able to be courageous, to prosper. We're going to look to you so that we succeed in a most wonderful way. And in the process, and the verse 9, as I said, with verse 9, be strong and of good courage. What are we going to do? God, we need to be courageous. We need to be in the place where we're looking to you in the light of our weakness. And God, what are we going to find? We're going to find that you're able to be, verse 9, for I have commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So be of good cheer. If I am for you, who can be against you? Said God. I am able. Now who's going to go against me? If God, who of all the world can go against me? Oh dear, everything can. But they can't take away God's will for your life. Easy. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and God saves you. and no one, including the devil and a zillion bad angels, can take away your relationship to God that you're saved. You belong to God, period. In a world of darkness that hates your existence. Religion, they don't care. You can be religion up to your nose. But to know God as your Savior, that is unacceptable. That's light in the darkness. Now, if I can, over with me. I think you're getting the idea. You're going to have to go. I'm going to have to teach them war. You aren't going to learn war unless you become strong and of good courage. Otherwise, you're going to yield. The enemy is powerful. Think of the world, the attractions of the world, the allurements of the world around you, business, money, pleasure, all of it. All of it's there. Relief from pain and everything. It's all there. We're looking to get it. And the world's allurements are there. And to get us involved in a world that's changing rapidly. So there it is. Now, God, we have to understand that so that we overcome, because the world is going to keep us captive, right? About our feelings, our fears, our faults, it keeps us captive. How we feel, how I think, what I do, we're captive to it. And God, help us to save us. And that's what, if you let go, personal, if you let God work in your life, He'll change your idiosyncrasies, He'll change your life in a wonderful, wonderful way. And you won't see it on day one. You're hanging there, and you want to have your personality. We all got our personalities and our idiosyncrasies. We all got them. It's part of our makeup. And whatever we do, we come, I said it earlier, lots of people who share, they share their person with people. And it contradicts what we're trying to do. They don't mean to do it. It's just they feel differently about something that you do. And they say it, see. And the people don't understand. Are you looking for God to adjust and get us to see things properly and in balance? Now, so over if I can, please. To Kings. 1 Kings chapter 6. Remember, we had Hezekiah, and Hezekiah said, There are more for us than against us. The Lord is our battle. The Lord's going to give us the victory. Okay, let's do it again. Opening and a closing. 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. And here's Elisha. Remember this, Elijah and Elisha, the prophets, wonderful prophets. Now, in the process of all of that, in verse 8, 6 and 8. Then the king of Assyria warred another battle going on against Israel, and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that thou pass not much a place, for thither the Assyrians are come down." In other words, Elisha warns them to the king, I'm telling you what the Assyrians are doing so that you don't get trapped or tricked by them, okay? Verse 10, and the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him, and saved himself there, not once, but twice. In other words, every time the enemy was planning to get them, Elisha went and told them, don't do that. And each time the king of Assyria came in, boom, they aren't there. Now the king of Assyria is one frustrated king. So in the process, verse 11, Therefore, the heart of the king of Assyria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, "Will ye not show me which of us is for the king?" In other words, there's one of you guys telling him what we're doing. Who's the traitor? We got to find the traitor among us, the spy. Who's the one that's doing this? And they said, "We are doing it." And fortunately, he believed him. And verse 12, "And one of his servants said, 'None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel all the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber.'" In other words, you couldn't think of anything, Mr. King, that God, you can dream it, and God will, Elisha's going to know exactly what you think or dream, because God's going to tell it to him, and God can do it. And God's going to do it. So you aren't going to win. Now, what are we going to do? We've got to get rid of this guy. We've got to get rid of this guy. We aren't going to win if this guy's around. Therefore, you know, wonderful. And in verse, so he sent his men, found out where he was. Verse 13, and he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." That's about halfway up between Jerusalem. It's between the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee on the west coast. Anyway, Dothan. Therefore, verse 14, "Therefore sent he thither, horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about." Now, that's impressive. You're going after one lonely guy, and you're going to go and get all your army surrounding the city. Wow, okay. So now what? And therefore, verse 15, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, surrounded the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, 'Alas, my master, Elisha, how shall we do?'" What are we going to do this time? There's no way escape. There's no way out. They're piled up all around us. There's no way to get out. No way to get out. Verse 16. "And he answered, 'Fear not, fear not, for they that are with us are more than they that are with them.'" Just like Hezekiah said, God is going to be more. God's enough. Now, wonderful. Verse 17, "And Elisha prayed." He didn't pray for the people, the enemy's victory. What did he pray for? He prayed to help his servant, who was sort of blind and stupid about the whole thing and afraid. He had no courage and he had no strength. And here's Elisha sitting there having his breakfast and having it. And what can he say? Now, so therefore, "And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see.' And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." We're surrounded by God's angelic host. Now, why don't you finish your breakfast and relax? And right now, we're in the presence of God. And the war is real. Spiritual battle taking place right now. And our little bit of trying to be in the light and walk in the light and be a testimony to God. God, boy, it's going to get tough with all the stuff they're doing and all that's going to happen. Wow. And if you leave us, we're going to have to face it a little longer. God. And then we look, and there's God's grace in a most wonderful way. And remember, That's an illustration I use because when I was going to school somewhere in Biola and that, and one of the professors was a missionary in China for years. And back then, the teachers were people that had experience, and they went from that. They were the people you want to learn from, the people that never went anywhere, like in Washington. They went and got trained, they're doctors, PhDs, and every other D's, what they are. And they never worked a day in their life. They know nothing about business. They know nothing about practical life. They know, instead of being trained, if you're going to be trained to buy business, I'm going to have to start cleaning the toilets and do the floor. I'm going to teach you all the way up what takes this business go. And then when I then you're going to be the boss, but you understand everything about this business and you understand it. So you understand the janitor the same as you do the supervisor. And you give them all their proper place. Okay, so in the process of, anyway, I started to say, in that professor, and I remember telling a story, telling an incident. He said, I was there. In China, they were all, back then, you remember, why don't I get tied up? Anyway, here's the thing, telling a story in China. And we're being attacked by the Chinese, the little mission was there, and they all gathered in their little building, So they were there, huddling, praying, because what are they going to do? Here they come with their hatchets and everything, attacking all around the building. They're going to get us, like they do in Africa and different places. Wow, they're going to come and get us. Wow, so we prayed and looked to God, and the noise was there, the chant, all the thing, poopla was out there. We knew we were done. And then all of a sudden, it was very quiet. And we got up and looked. And they were all gone. And then we asked one of the people that was out there. He said, what happened? He said they were coming against the house. And on top of the building were all of these figures on fire. On top of the building. And they all backed off and went away. God surrounded her. Could God do miracles? He didn't. He has done them. I love it for us. And God can do it. So I don't have a problem. You don't. God can do anything he wants. It's a wonderful thing. So what are we going to do? We're going to trust God and be strong. I got to quit. Hope you got a little bit. Yeah. Elijah says, have breakfast and relax. How's that? Relax. You aren't going to overcome. But you aren't supposed to beat the system. You're supposed to be looking to God to enjoy the testimony. You're being a testimony, a light in the darkness. All the darkness in the world can't put out that light. And so you relax and have your breakfast. Our Father and God, we thank you. Thank you, God, you taught wanted to teach Israel to learn war, to learn how to win, to understand the battle. And our God, we thank you for thy word, thy grace, thy caring. God, we're just us. So, God, you got to keep us and help us for the weak, dear people that need extra help even now from a human standpoint. God, help us, each one. And we'll thank you for your goodness and grace. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.